How many people do we encounter on a daily basis? Have you ever taken the time to consider what those people are going through? The dreams, aspirations, fears, and challenges that are faced each day make every individual unique. Can our understanding, our interactions with these individuals, help them overcome the mountains that are faced each and every day? We think so, because it's the little things that can make a big difference. And here's Mitch and Jake.
Welcome to The Little Things with Mitch.
And Jake.
Jake, just got back from South Dakota in Oklahoma now. How was your trip back?
Dude, I had an absolute blast. I hadn't been back to the farm, actually, since me and you were there back in June when we originally had the original conversations about the Little Things podcast and getting it rolling, man. So it's been a long time. Saw a lot of friends and family and acquaintances I haven't seen in some time. It was great, man.
Yeah, there's something about home, you know, when you go back and you see a lot of different people that you haven't seen in a while. I kind of got that feeling when I went to Seattle. I got away from home, but it was with my parents and some cousins I haven't seen for a while. It was with that cousin's wedding. And holy smokes, you just, like, you get back and you just start laughing and you're like, wow, I miss these people, you know. So it's nice to kind of get a refresh, kind of reset a little bit and go forward. So I'm happy you had a good time.
Yeah, home is where the heart is. I actually just wrote a post about this today. If you want to check out itsjustjake.com, wrote a blog post about my trip home and even covered our high school playoff football game that we were able to do on the radio, man. That was a blast.
Yeah, it's something new. I mean, basically, we're calling the game of life in this podcast, I guess. Why not try to call a game of football while we're at it, right?
Exactly. We're giving it our best shot anyway.
Our main goal is to show you that by appreciating the little things in life and understanding what the people around us are enduring, we can increase everyone's quality of life. Just finished chapter one, Jake. Got a guest coming on next episode, but we're going to finish every chapter out with just a little bit of a Q&A. We sure appreciate everyone reaching out to you and I, sharing their thoughts on the podcast, and just kind of giving us some questions. Jake, we kind of talked about not really diving into these questions beforehand. Do you want to elaborate on that a bit?
Sure. So this is our Ask Me Anything episodes, where basically what we're doing is we took questions in from the past week and a half since our last episode and gathered up a few questions that people sent in, and we're just going to answer them. We looked over the list just very briefly right before we hopped on here, so it's going to be kind of sporadic and quick thinking from both Mitch and I, but these are questions that you guys were interested in hearing about.
I'm going to put you on the spot right away, Lori Nealon. You know, and we had a lot of family that responded to a lot of these first, so we certainly appreciate that and look forward to some variety as far as people and listeners go next week. But we sure appreciate Lori sending us a few questions here. First one, Jake, if you could visit any place on earth, where would it be?
Greece, Mitch. I gotta go to Greece. I've always wanted to go there. I think just it looks like such a beautiful country. Specifically, you know, I've heard some stories about Mykonos and Santorini just right on the bluffs there on the cliffs overlooking the ocean. So Greece is always somewhere that I've wanted to visit personally. And then I am a huge fan of Mediterranean food or the Mediterranean diet. I love all the fresh vegetables and pastas, of course. Pasta is one of my weaknesses. And just the different mixtures of food that they put together over there, it's phenomenal. So Greece, man, that's where I want to go. What about you?
Italy. I think it's Italy, and I think I'm a big food guy, huge food guy, love to cook. Pasta is one of my favorites to cook, but they would put me to shame, I think, if we went over there. Sherry and I have had some conversations. We're saving up to do a European trip. I don't know when that will be, but I told her she gets one trip. First time I ever flew on a plane was with her on our honeymoon, and I was scared to death. And now that I've done it enough, we'll probably go more than once. But she wants to go to the northern part of Europe, but, I mean, that's something she's wanted to do as a little kid, to go to Europe. So we'll get to pick hers first. So hopefully the second time around we get to go to Italy. But I want to elaborate a little more on this. I mean, I think really anywhere would be awesome, depending on your company. You know, been to Mexico and Jamaica with my wife, just went to Seattle, and I sure appreciate traveling with her and kind of sharing different things. Probably one of our favorite trips was Washington, D.C., and hung out with some good friends there for a wedding and really enjoyed it. But I sit there and I look at the places and really enjoy it, but I also focus a little bit on the company that I'll have. And geez, I think Italy with my wife would just be a dream come true, really.
It really would, Mitch, and I think we're both in agreement on pasta is definitely one of our weak spots. You know, one thing I thought about when you were saying that, there's a lot of Italian wine over there as well, too, and you don't strike me as a wine guy.
I bet they could find some whiskey over there. I bet I could find some, or a cider beer or something.
Yeah, true. You do love some cider. That's for sure. That's not a bad idea. Say, I got a question for you here. Barb Lenniker, thanks for continuing to follow along and tune in. And you won our gift card about halfway through chapter one there. So hopefully you've utilized that Amazon gift card well. Your question is, if God asked you to do one act of kindness, what would it be and why?
I'm regretting not looking over these questions, Jake.
Ah, that's what makes it good, man.
I would say just being present, I think, to the people around me. People that are, you know, kind of reaching out a helping hand, but these people that are looking for help, that are looking for guidance, that are looking for that extra push to be better people, to achieve what they want to. I think that would be my act of kindness, is just being present for them and being aware that the people around me do need some support, and actually reaching out and giving them that support. Jake, what do you think?
Well, Mitch, I think you support people all the time, do you not?
You're right, I do, but, I mean, one act of kindness, I'd probably say that, I guess. I'd also be interested in slightly in a missions trip, but that'd be super uncomfortable for me, and I'm one that just kind of dives into things. So I don't know. I think if God asked me to made that call to do that, I think I would, again, support people, reach a helping hand, and maybe go out and do some service work.
I like it. I like it, Mitch.
What about you?
To answer Barb's question, I try to do this at times, and I've had it done a lot for me, but paying it forward, I've really kind of enjoyed. I'm not sure if it's a movement or not, but that feeling of, and I'm not sure if it's happened to you, but you know, having your coffee or your breakfast paid for by the person in front of you, whether it's at Starbucks or in a cafe, that's happened to me a couple different times, and it kind of just gives you an extra boost, if you will, and kind of a good feeling. And then for you to do it for the person behind you and hoping that it continues on is just a good feeling as well too. And as you were talking about your answer there, another thing that I thought of was like running like a marathon or running for a good cause. I know a lot of friends and acquaintances who have done, you know, marathons and charity runs and walks, you know, for certain causes, breast cancer, etc. A lot of good causes out there, and I'd like to do that someday as well too, to answer Barb's question.
You know, kind of going on that act of kindness, okay, what would it be and why? Gee, I don't know. I think we strive to always do that, you know what I mean? And I feel like sometimes I do come up short, and you just continue to do it and do it and do it. But I was in a McDonald's drive-thru and drove through. It was just a day where I think I got an ice cream shake or something like that. And the lady stopped and said, "You are the 13th person in line that wants to pay it forward. Do you want to be the 14th? I said, "Are you kidding me?"
Wow, 14?
14, that there were 14 different cars that did it. And it must have been super busy, you know, obviously with all the cars there. But 14 in a row they got.
I love hearing that, dude. That's awesome. And I assume slash hope that you participated.
You know, I was kind of thinking, I'm like, geez, I only got an ice cream shake. You know, what if this guy back here got a medium rare prime, you know? But no, I think he just got like a quarter pounder or something like that. So it was a couple bucks more. But no, it was really cool to be a part of. I mean, I smiled all the way home and thought that was kind of neat.
It's such a good feeling. I have a quick story too. I was in Starbucks line and someone paid for mine. And I looked behind me and there was a gal behind me in a pickup truck. And I thought, well, you know, I'm going to continue it on. So I bought the person behind me a cup of coffee. And then I noticed at the next stoplight that the truck was behind me. And after I made a few turns, it continued to turn and turn with me and ended up pulling into the same parking lot that I did at work here. And got out of the car, and it was one of my coworkers. And you should have seen, the smile on her face. She was just beaming. And said, oh my gosh, that was so nice. That never happens like that. You know, stuff that never happens like that to me. So she was super happy. And I believe she bought us donuts that day. She bought the office donuts. So she was pretty pumped. But just a quick story about that too.
You know, and we can sit here and talk stories all the time. You know, we had we do an FCA deal where we do a fundraiser. I did this when I was in Waverly. We did a sucker fundraiser for Valentine's Day and raised about $275. And what we did with that money is we bought $10 gift cards, and then we went to Hy-Vee and gave mothers, or women for that matter, you don't really know if they're mothers or not, but you gave them a $10 gift card to help with their groceries. And we had two people, so obviously 27 gift cards. We had two people start crying.
Wow.
We had one that told these kids, because I don't hand them out, you know, unless a group is struggling, they're shy and nervous, then I'll come initiate a few exchanges, but for the most part I just sit back and watch. And it was this group of girls that went up, and this mom or whatever came up and hugged them and was crying, and she said, you know, I had to put a few things back because I couldn't afford them, so my kids thank you. Like, how cool is that?
How cool is that? How impactful is that? You know, a simple fundraiser like that and just the impact that it had. That's awesome. That's a great story, Mitch.
So, next question. Have you ever been afraid, Nicolette Nealon, have you ever been afraid of what the future holds for you? What is your next step? And not knowing what that may be, if there's any way you could mess it up, I'm looking forward to hearing your thoughts. So I think we just start from the first one. Have you ever been afraid of what the future holds?
So I'm smiling right now because I know where Nicolette's kind of coming from here. Have you ever been afraid of what the future holds for you? My initial reaction is yes, of course I have. You know, I've feared failure in so many different ways over my life, and we actually went over this in episode 9, Not Live in Constant Fear to Fail. But yeah, I've definitely been afraid of the future. And I've come to, I guess, learn a lot about the quote-unquote future and my mindset and how that has shifted for me. But yeah, I've been afraid of the future. It's the fear of the unknown, you know, which is really scary, especially for someone like myself and Nicolette, who, you know, is kind of a big planner, likes to kind of set things out in structure and kind of have a plan. So I can definitely see where she's coming from with that question. What are your thoughts on that, Mitch?
I am unique, I think, in this situation where I just dive in. I don't know if I've been necessarily afraid of the future. I think I got a solid set of beliefs that I'm confident in. You know, I'm a religious guy. Believe in God, that he'll lead me where I need to go. I've got a solid family life, a wife that supports me, and two beautiful children. And, you know, as long as I got them by my side and they support me, I'm going to be okay. And I know, even like in college, where that is the unknown. I mean, that was the biggest transition in my life, and I would assume in most people's life, is you're kind of being supported by parents or friends, and then you go off and you're kind of doing your own thing. So I think when that transition happened, I got my job in March, and dove in, and I was close enough to home, only being an hour away, so I still had a lot of family support there. So I get it. It makes complete sense to me, but I think when you change your mindset and you believe you're doing what you need to be doing to be successful and being confident, I think confidence is a big way of overcoming that fear as well.
I think you nailed it there, Mitch, and I'm going to kind of piggyback off that comment. Is you just mentioned it. You need to believe. You need to have the confidence in yourself and need to have faith. I'm a man of faith as well, too, and I know you are very strong in your beliefs. And we've talked about this again in episode 9, but the fear is something that we almost make up in our head. Like, the future is something that isn't necessarily real. Like, the only thing that we have is today and the actions that we take and the steps that we take and what we do in our day-to-day lives. You can plan and prepare and believe for what you're going to do in the future, but it's the action steps and the movements that you take and the mindset that you take with you when you go through those steps. That's what gets you past that fear. That's what propels you into the future, is the action steps and stuff that you take care of today. So I know she mentioned, you know, what your next step is, not knowing what that may be, if there's any way you can mess it up. I think that's important to touch on, because I don't think you can mess it up. Sure, we make mistakes and whatnot, but mistakes turn into learning lessons. And the only way that you cannot believe that or not feel like you're messing up your future is to just believe in yourself and have the confidence that what you're doing day to day is the right thing to do. What do you think about that?
I agree, but it's tough. It's so tough because the unknown, we can't rationalize the unknown. We can't, there's situations that we deal with moving forward that we've dealt with before, so we understand them. We can kind of make references and ideas on how to get past that stuff, but like after college and different things, like, we just don't know what to expect, so it becomes irrational almost. We start fearing things. So I guess that's kind of where I'm going to go the other way with that. I think sometimes we say, like, you just got to be confident, and, you know, so I know I'm talking out of both ends of my mouth here, but I've been and I've seen students really struggle with that transition, and you tell them, like, be confident, do this and that, but in their head they've got this idea that they can't. And I don't know how you go out and change it. I really don't. I think it's experiences, and I think it's having good people in your life that you're comfortable with, that you can share things with. Because I mean, Jake, you and I both, we've been in situations where things aren't going our way. And how did you get out of that? You know, you've shared a few things in this podcast and setbacks that you've had. How did you overcome that?
I was just going to touch on that. And to reference Nicolette's question, we've all been there. And I've had several conversations with you, Mitch, with others, you know, through emails and messages. Like, we've all been in those spots, in those pinches, in those places that we think we can't get out of. It turns into simple things, or little things, if you will, to relate it to the podcast. Like, it goes to your daily routines. And I think Maxwell has a big quote out there that one of my friends references quite a bit. I'm going to look it up here super, super quick. But it becomes a part of our daily routine. John Maxwell, let me see if I can pull it up super quick. I apologize. I should have had this pulled up before if I knew it was going to come up.
Hey, that's the beauty of it. You never know what's coming.
It's the little things that we prepare or don't prepare for.
Mm-hmm. I just can't believe, like, Nicolette, you know, you read this and stuff. I remember the first time I met her was at that amateur tournament. Geez, how old was she, you think?
Oh, the first amateur tournament?
Yes.
She had to be, call it, 12, 11
Golly.
Or 12 maybe.
Just her and her friends just thought that was the coolest weekend in town. And Lori couldn't stand that weekend. That was a turn of the kneelings.
She loves that. I know she does. Let's see. The secret of your success lies within your daily routines. So the secret to your success lies in your daily routines. And I think that's important for Nicolette's question here, and we can wrap this up right after. But what I had to do to overcome some of the misfortunes and the missteps that I've taken is slow it down, is really slow it down and look at how I start my day, how I begin my day, how I feel physically, what I'm putting into my body, and then always learning. I'm a big reader. I've turned to reading and books for inspiration and some guidance, and that's helped me through a lot of these tough times. But it's within those daily routines where we start to turn around and the routines become more and more steady and they become more and more active, and that's how we get through some tough times in life.
Next question. Another one from Lori Nealon. Jake, what is your favorite childhood memory?
Oh, geez. Is there anywhere to start here, Mitch? What is your favorite childhood memory? Wow. Favorite childhood memory. There's so many that come to mind. One for sure is between my junior and senior year, we were playing AAU ball, and my parents pretty much did nothing but drive our entire family around to get me to basketball tournaments. Like that was something I'll cherish for a long time, is those road trips with the five of us. You know, to a lot of listeners out there, it might seem pretty awful, you know, being with your family for a 24-hour car ride, you know, down to, you know, Louisville and Kentucky, Indiana, those places, Las Vegas. But it was really something. It bonded us. It certainly tested us a little bit. But that, for some reason, that's something that came in mind. You know, basketball's played a very large role in our Nealand household. And that's one of my favorite memories, is that summer just literally traveling around the U.S. and playing basketball.
Did Pops, did he ever lend you his red, white, and blue wristbands or headband or anything like that?
You know, the headband he tried to get me to wear, I just couldn't pull it off as him, because he had one of those shaggy mullets, you know. He just had, you can't see it now, Mitch, but he had major flow back in the day. I mean, his wedding picture, I could look at that thing and almost see him just swaying his hair and waving his hand through it. But, you know, headbands work. They work a little bit better with that long hair.
I wore it at that amateur tournament one year. Just shot the lights out. The whole Summit barn was about ready to tip over.
Oh, I remember. You hit like 9 threes in a row. Your eyes were closed and the headband was holding in all the sweat. I remember.
Yeah, little do they all know, our listeners, that it was during warm-ups and I couldn't hit a broadside of a barn during a game.
But throw a boat into the ocean.
So my favorite childhood memory. You had a good one there. I would have to say any time we were traveling. You know, I don't know if I can pinpoint what trip, but I do want to share something. When I did read this question, it's not necessarily a memory, it's the feelings that I remember. And you know, when you're kind of doing your own thing, you know, you're living life, you know, you're working, you've got your kids, there's always that sense of vulnerability, because if you screw up, like, you know, you have to answer to it. With your kids, with your family, personal life, professional life, things like that. I remember growing up, and even like in high school, and even like we talked about when you go home, it's that sense that like no matter what you do, people are going to have your back. It's that sense of support. And I have it here. Don't get me wrong. I have it in this house. But I remember growing up and just that lack of vulnerability. Like, and I think that's why kids just feel invincible at times, is because they feel so safe, so protected. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's kind of a weird thing. I don't know how I'm getting it out there, though.
I know exactly what you're talking about. It's a little tough to describe, but you grow up like feeling invincible, almost like nothing can bring you down or hurt you. And with that, you don't seem like you can be vulnerable. Like nothing can touch you in a way. You know, you got family and friends and little to no responsibility
and
when you're
stress,
young.
Little stress.
Right. Right. Just thinking. No responsibility, just being a kid, you know. It's awesome. There's not much stress to go back on, and I think we take some of that easiness and that sense of strength and surrounding for granted sometimes.
And I know we grow up and we've got to get things accomplished, and you know, the harder you work and the more people you know, the farther you advance in what you're doing. But why do we lose that sense? I mean, think about how, like, and I don't want to say awesome, but just think of how stress-free and enjoyable life was, and we lose it. And I know, like I said, we got to grow up, we got to support our families, and I wouldn't change what I'm doing. You know, I love my family and what we've got going on, but, you know, there's a lot of times where you sit down at the dinner table and you're eating, and you're just, like, got 300,000 things on your mind, and you're just... Oh boy, you know, you didn't do that as a kid.
No, you didn't. The old boy was having to eat your vegetables at the
yes
at the corner of the
wasn't
plate.
Wasn't that the worst thing in the world anyway? And then they were cold by the time he got to them anyway.
Had to scarf them down though. We do lose it, but at some point I think I guess I'm going to reference it back to you and I, Mitch. We find ways to kind of keep that spark alive, if you will. Like us with, you know, you with the book and the podcast that we're doing, and me with the website and having a platform to express my feelings on there. Like, you know, we find fun in it. We find joy in it. Like, not all people find, you know, side projects or work or careers very fun or fulfilling. And, you know, we've mentioned this several times. We're just having a blast with this. You know, we're having fun doing it. It's impacting people. We're hearing from people that we never thought we'd hear from again. And it's impacting people's lives. And we're just having a blast, you know, along the way. And it doesn't feel stressful or anything like that. You know what I'm saying?
No, I got you. I got you completely. And yeah, I appreciate the time that we've had here, and we've got a long ways to go, and I think we've even got a question coming up. What do you got for me this next question?
Let's see. From Brenda, we got an email that says, Mitch, I'm curious if you can name three of your little sister's friends from school.
One thing, I want to give a shout out, Brenda Fortin and Calvin, two daughters that I'd went to school with, Colleen and Colette Fortin, married now, both have kids, doing great things in their adult life. But one thing I've noticed when you reach out and the things that we're doing, Jake, as far as this podcast goes, it's unbelievable the support you have from your communities. I just saw a comment on your blog about how many people from Summit are proud, and I'm proud of you, Jake, for the things you've accomplished and just like that support. And then you go back and people I haven't spoken to since high school, you know, they're reaching out during this and like they're following and they're rooting for you. You know, that's not always everywhere in life. I mean, there are people that want you to fail in what you're doing because for some sick way that brings them satisfaction. But to go back to the people that you love and the people that you grew up with and to feel that support, it really is cool. But anyway, those three sisters, Brenda, those are easy. Tyler Haler, Colette Fortin, of course, Hillary Frericks, and Taylor Funk. And I could probably name a handful more, but my sister would be proud of me. So, yeah.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Good answer to the question there, Mitch. And then thanks for your comments as well, too. I know you mentioned it earlier in this episode, but it kind of goes back, and we've talked about this before, but the people that you surround yourself with. You know, we were very fortunate to grow up in, you know, smaller communities, but just really, really solid, good people. And it's awesome that they're always going to be supporting us. So I thought you kind of nailed it there. That's awesome, Mitch.
Last question. Not sure who this is from. Anonymous, it says.
Anonymous.
What's next for the little things? I think that's a good question for you, Jake.
That's a tremendous question. What's next for the little things? We have a lot planned. Listeners, we're going to ask you to stay tuned in. We got a few exciting projects coming up with the little things that we'll dive into and share some more information as they get closer and closer to coming to fruition. But yeah, there's big things coming. We, like I said earlier, we're enjoying the heck out of this. It's impacting people. We're slowly but surely growing the podcast. The views and the comments and the ratings have continuously gone up, and we ask you to share and continue to impact us. You know, you guys keep this going with your feedback, so continue to share the message. And then also, Mitch mentioned it at the very beginning of the episode, but we have a very, very exciting guest here. I think we're going to try and get to it this very next episode. Mitch was fortunate to meet someone who had a real great impact on his life, and I can't wait for the conversation. Maybe you want to elaborate on that some, but to answer the question, there's some really fun and exciting things coming up next year for the little things.
Yeah, so we're I guess we can make that announcement here. You know, just got confirmation. We got to get it going next week. But Sean Cavell, the executive producer of Napoleon Dynamite, will be on the broadcast, or the podcast, I should say. Really excited, real genuine dude. Got it figured out. Came and spoke in Florence last week at a teacher in service we had, and got talking to him, and like what he wants to get accomplished is so cool, and I want to support him. I want to get him on here. It aligns with what we're doing here. So yeah, we've got that worked out. We just got to work some of the technical things, and I kind of want to get to that question too. What's next for the little things? We don't really know. If you would ask us this question right when we started, it would have been a different answer. And, you know, what's next for the little things? I think our viewers, our listeners have a lot to say in what's really next. We've added a lot of episodes in between chapters. You know, initially we said, you know, there was going to be 7 chapters. There's 8, 56. Well, now we're adding a Q&A. We're adding this. We're adding that. So, I mean, sky's the limit. But I think the support has really pushed us to advance this podcast. So thank you to everyone listening.
Yes, to reiterate that, thank you so much. You guys make this podcast go, and we have a few projects that we have in mind, but again, like Mitch just said, they could take a turn, and opportunity to interview someone, you know, in a unique industry and in such an accomplished life resume, if you will. We're super excited to meet with Sean and then to share that with you guys.
And I know he does some other stuff, you know, some charitable work. So, I mean, he's really got a lot going on for him. So, Jake, what'd you think of the first Q&A?
Thought it went well. We appreciate all the questions. I certainly had fun with it. You know, we get into some deep discussions, Mitch, and we certainly did here too, but it's also fun and light. And like you mentioned, not shock and awe, but, you know, we don't prepare for these questions much at all. We put together a quick list and looked over it about 30 seconds before we hopped on, so it kind of keeps it refreshing to hear our answers and where the episode takes us. So it was interesting and fun, I thought.
You had one quick shout out, didn't you?
I did. Let me pull it up here real quick.
Well, while you're pulling it up, I can do the contact information, because hey, if anyone ever sends us a question, it doesn't have to be the week before we do the Q&A. We'll stock that thing, and we'll put it on every Q&A, plan on doing one in between every chapter. Contact us at thelittlethings.mitchandjake@gmail.com. Again, thelittlethings.mitchandjake@gmail.com. Give us a shout out there. Question, answers, your thoughts. We love to hear them. Love that feedback and that dialogue. Sure appreciate it.
Mitch, you nailed the email. Well done, sir.
Oh, it's like the first time I think I've done it.
I think so, too, but you nailed it, brother. A shout-out here real quick. I got a very nice message on Facebook from Kelsey Nelson. She sent me a message and just wanted to share with us that we're really fun to listen to, and they've been keeping up with the episodes and have just really, really enjoyed listening to kind of the camaraderie in the comments and the deep discussions that you and I have had, Mitch. And then also mentioned I was actually with her the night that she met her husband, and they just celebrated their wedding anniversary. So wanted to give a quick shout out to Kelsey Nelson. Congratulations on the anniversary and your family, and thanks for following along with the little things. We really appreciate it.
She's a Gusso from Florence land, though.
That's right.
Yeah, correct. That's right. Florence Henry Falcon pride right there, right? Well, it was probably the Florence Flyers back in the day, though.
Probably the Florence Flyers. Yeah, that would have been in, gosh, 08, 09.
Don't age us, man.
You're right. Never mind, everyone.
So tune in for the next episode where we'll have Sean Cavell share some things that he's got going on, elaborate on some projects, and just have a good conversation with him. So join us next time for that. This is Mitch.
And Jake.
Signing out.
This was a special presentation of The Little Things by Mitch and Jake. For more details on the podcast or the project, check out mitch-reed.com, itsjustjake.com, or purchase Cardboard Confessionals on Amazon. And remember, the first step to helping someone in need is understanding and appreciating what they are going through. Thank you for listening.